Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReynolds.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show, we talk about some of the strategies we use to integrate students into our clinical care.
The Ask Mike Reynolds Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReynolds.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the Ask Mike Reynolds Show. I'm here at Champion PT Performance with our crew, physical therapists, strength coaches. Some of us, not all of us are here, but a good group of us are here answering your questions. Anything you want to talk about, head to MikeReynolds.com, click on that podcast link and keep asking away. Let's see, who do we have today? We have Jonah Monlock, Mike Scudito, Dewesh Podell, Dan Pope, Kevin Coughlin, Dave Tilley, and Lenny Macrina. And Lenny, who do we have for students today?
We have some amazing students that are with us. I just cherish them. We have a Tara Punk-Savath from Kansas, University of Kansas? University of Kansas, the Jayhawks. We have Kaylee Kovac from St. Francis University, Division I basketball player. We have Mac Chavez from University of Central Florida. And last but not least, we have Claire Farley from MIT via Tufts. MIT.
All of them are from the Phoenix campuses of those individual schools. Has that not been a recurring theme the last few years? There's got to be a reason, but we won't talk about it on the podcast. All right, who's got a question today?
I've got the question today. Mark from California is asking, how do you integrate PT students into a patient's care in a way that makes the patient feel comfortable that they are still receiving a high quality of care?
Ooh, good question, Mac. I like that. You know what? That's a really good question. And that is something we at Champion, we talk about. And I would say, we'll expand on this question a little bit, Mark, too, because we have physical therapy students, but we also have interns with our strength and conditioning coaches in the gym, which is, you know, the same situation, right? And I think what Mark's saying is the dilemma that we all have is like, how do you, couple things, assure quality of care, which I actually think that part's the easiest part. But more importantly is how do you assure that the person in front of you is confident in that quality of care? And I think that's actually the real question here, because we all trust and know that our students and interns are going to do a great job. But that's a good question, Mark. I like it. All right. Who wants to start? All right, Dave. Dave, this is a good one too, because again, Dave coaches youth, right? You're going to be able to answer. We're going to have good answers for this question. All right, I'll let Dave talk. Sorry, I was just excited.
Yeah, I have Mackenzie right now, so I feel like she can call me out if I'm not right here. But I feel like there's a couple things. One is that you have to over-educate the student in advance that like you might just like take some L's where like people come to us, particularly out of network, they're paying cash. Like there's going to be some times that you may be the nicest, smartest, most wonderful person ever, but the person just literally drove 2 hours with their son or daughter and doesn't want to see a student. And that's totally okay. But that being said, I think whenever we start with the students, and I think Scuduto also like does a great job with this, is like trying to get the students educated as fast as possible on like the small treatment-based things that really don't take a lot of like super high-level skills. So doing a little bit of soft tissue stuff or manual work or coaching someone through exercises, right? Usually you start somebody who's working with the client with something that's a little bit more, you know, basic. And so you do the eval stuff, you do like the hands-on stuff for like getting to know somebody's like range of motion or whatever. And then like you go out in the gym and you're both there. And, you know, Mackenzie's helping coach exercises or she's helping through some basic stuff with modalities or whatever. So I think like you just start and like that person can then talk to the patient or the client and like establish rapport. Like, what are you in for? Like, what's going on? And like, they feel more comfortable the first visit. And then if they come back the second time, you can say like, hey, take the lead and just like, catch up with this person and ask how their subjective is and like see how they're doing and are they better or worse, and just get them a hot pack or like do a little bit of the basic stuff up front. And then like they can get a little bit more going. And hopefully by, you know, if someone's there for an 8 to 12 week clinical, you can have a couple patients who feel really comfortable with the person. You have to read the room a bit and know that client is like more open to students and just tell them up front. But there's many times when you start with just like literally getting that person a heat pack and just talking to them for 5 minutes, and it becomes like the lead, you know, for the student, and you're just there kind of shadowing. And that we make a running joke with McKenzie that there's times I just like fake doing emails or my notes next to the table just to like listen and like be a part of it, but let her kind of be the one making decisions or like what exercises to do, or she'll ask like, what should we do? I was like, I don't know. What do you think we should do? Like, just pretend that I'm kind of hanging out here and like, I'll jump in if needed. But I think you just slowly give like more and more steps each visit, and you get like a little pocket of like five patients or clients that they feel more comfortable working with a student.
Right. And, all right. So Dave, I got a question for you. So how do you draw the line, or how do you reconcile giving that freedom to Mac with that, but then also having the patient be like, wait a minute, is Dave checking his emails right now? Because that's the real concern here, right?
But totally.
How do you handle that?
There's one thing of checking emails like in the other room eating lunch, and then there's one thing sitting next to the table and like weighing in and offering thoughts. And like, so yeah, I would say rarely I'm like just like in the bathroom for an hour, you know, like just letting it ride. But you're always involved in some way or shape or form. And I think Lenny does a good job of this too, is sometimes like he'll like start with someone and then like let his student like do stuff, and then like he'll like jump in for some range of motion halfway through, or like talk about exercises and then circle back. So yeah, you're never ghosting your patient, just sitting there like waiting for them. You're trying to stay involved whenever you can.
I think that's a great way of phrasing it, Dave, and articulate that too. And I will say, like in your example right there with McKenzie too, is like she's been here for a while. She's been doing a great job. That wasn't her first eval with you, right? And you know, one thing we always preach at Champion is like we you know, we're never, I mean, I don't think we'll ever do this, but like, we're not the one where the students get their own caseloads and we just check in at lunch and go over like what you did that day. Like it's to us, it's about, you know, our educational model is you observe, then I do, you do, then you do, I do, right? It's like, it's a sequential thing over there, 8 to 12 weeks where, you know, so we'll do reps of things together. We'll go back and forth on exams together. So that way we're both feeling it. I think it's been fun. And I will say there's a benefit of that too, by the way, is that the PT and the student tend to talk a lot during that process. And then the patient really, it's almost like they learn from that experience too, right? So, but who else? Dan, I think I saw you.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I think one of the big ones, and Dave already talked about this, is you kind of have to choose your patients. And I think Lenny does a really good job of this. And me, I've struggled with this a little bit because I don't see students as frequently. So what ends up happening is that you'll see a patient one-on-one for a large period of time. Then all of a sudden you have a student. And if you're like, all right, student, jump in, do everything that I used to do. And that patient's like, oh, I don't know if I like that. And that's not a great experience for that patient, obviously. So I think a lot of it is, A, like you have to set an expectation from the get-go. So when the student comes in and starts seeing some of these patients in the diagnosis, and you're getting an idea of whether or not the patient enjoys this experience or not, you can start to say, okay, yes, I think that the student would be great to work more one-on-one with this patient, but you may have the opposite experience too. At Champion, we get a lot of referrals. They're coming from other patients that are coming from other trainers that are very challenging cases that haven't had success in the past with physical therapy. There's a big expectation they're going to actually see the therapist they're coming in for. And sometimes it's really just not the best fit to have the student in there right away. But I think over the course of time, you can start to leak in some experiences with the student, ends up being a bit better. And going back to what Lenny does, I think he does a great job of this. And I think it's also because he almost always has students all the time, right? I don't think there's ever a period of time where Lenny doesn't have a student around him, but it's very much baked into the experience of Champion, right? It's like when you come in, you're going to be working with Lenny as well as a lot of the students, and they're going to collaborate and work together. And from the get-go, basically, that is the experience that people have. So they expect that moving forward. And I think it ends up working really, really well. So I think you have to choose the patients where you think is best and probably set up this experience from the get-go so that folks aren't getting inconsistency in care over the course of their time at Champion.
I love it. Cause that's always the priority, right? Like you can't screw that part up, Dan. I like that. That's right. So Kevin, what do you got?
Yeah, I think I'll just echo a little bit of what, Dave and Dan were saying, because I take a lot of the same approaches. But one thing I've found helpful is, like with Claire and when I had Danielle previously, is I share all the patient notes with them, so they're oriented to what's going on. And then before the session or before the day, I'll talk to Claire about who's coming in and what things we're working on. And I think early in the clinical, you know, if it's a patient where we're doing specific joint move techniques or soft tissue techniques or passive range of motion, it's something we practice beforehand. And then when the patient's there, I'll do it first. And then I'll kind of be like, hey, do you mind if Claire feels the shoulder and, you know, she can get an idea of what's going on as well. And they're usually open to that. And that's kind of how it integrates with patients we're already seeing. And then and I think like Dave and Dan were talking about, when you have a new patient eval, you just ask the person, is it okay? You know, so my student, is it okay if they kind of hang out and try to figure out what's going on with your back so we can come up with a plan together? And they're almost always open to that. And, you know, there are some people that will say, you know, I really prefer to work with a therapist, but I haven't had that in my experience. I think kind of like Dan was saying, it is interesting. Like it does vary therapist to therapist. Like obviously there are a lot of patients that come in and they want to see Dan, or a lot of gymnasts want to see Dave, or a lot of people want to see, you know, Mike and Lenny. I think the population I work with, they're a little more open to seeing, you know, kind of anybody, as long as they feel like the care that they're getting is great. And I think that's, you know, kind of a benefit of working at Champion, is the system we've built is we're all doing similar things and people will be receptive to that.
Yeah. Good stuff, Kevin. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'll say too, like we deal with like a lot of like professional athletes, high level people, right? And our students work with them and it works, right? Like we never have anybody complain, right? It's actually kind of scary if somebody does complain. You're like, oh, like that's a tough patient sometimes that's like that, right? But like I think it comes down to the therapist to make sure that, again, coming back to the very beginning of this, that they feel comfortable that they are getting great care and that the student is part of assisting us, right? But that like you're still the one making some judgments and some calls with some questions, but they know that it's a comfortable experience and it's pretty good. But Dan?
Yeah, just really quick, I really want to say, and Mike Scaduto said this in the past, oftentimes patients end up loving the students and it's a very synergistic thing. So usually I think the experience with the student and the therapist could be even better than just the therapist alone. So I think that for maybe the, you know, the students or the therapists out there, they're scared of, you know, integrating the students and diminishing their quality of care. I think it can actually go up if you do it well. So don't be afraid to use students and to improve care with that. So
That's awesome. I love it. Who would have thought we get to the point where we're quoting Mike Scaduto here on the podcast? I mean, is that amazing? But that being said, Mike, I do want to hear from you. Mike, you were a student at Champion like 10 years ago now, but like more importantly, I think you've done a great job embracing a lot of the students and doing a lot of work with them here with us at Champion. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this too.
So yeah, I was going to go from a slightly different perspective. I think, you know, as a CI, you really have to get to know your student. I think from the very get-go, you have to know their strengths, you know, and their areas of development. You want to set that student up for success. So your first interaction between your student and the patient, I think that needs to be a very positive experience for both parties involved. I think the student needs to feel comfortable with what you're asking them to do. The patient needs to feel like that student is confident in what you're asking them to do. So there'll be some students that come in with more manual therapy experience and some students that come in with less manual therapy experience. So I think, you know, if the student comes in with less experience, your first interaction between the student and the patient, you're probably not going to have them do manual therapy. Maybe it's a good time for them to coach them on exercise technique or take them out in the gym and run them through some exercises and let them build rapport through there. So I think, you know, overall, you have to keep the student's confidence level in mind when you're introducing a student and a patient. You want that to be a successful kind of partnership, you know, going both directions, so that the student feels confident working with that patient and you're not taking them out of their comfort zone, you know, off the get-go.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that, Mike. And you know what word I like most out of this is confident. They had to, when... when a patient comes to us and they can detect that maybe there's a lack of confidence or something, that's going to be very destructive for their building of trust and saying like, all right, like, do I think that this plan that they're outlining is going to help me specifically, right? It's all about that. So, you know, good example, like Kaylee and I did an evaluation yesterday, and beforehand I was like prepping her, like as we're doing other stuff, I'm like, all right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And now I'm telling her our secrets behind the scenes here, but there are no right or wrong answers when I was asking her those. She could have said anything, right? All I wanted her to do was to think ahead about what she was going to do. So that way she would go into the evaluation prepared. Right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. There's a million things we can do, but she was prepared, right? And then I think the other thing too is like anytime that you sense that there's a stall in the process with the students, or like maybe there's a little like you can almost sense that the student's like, I don't know where to go next. That's where we have to jump in seamlessly and keep going, but also not steamroll that conversation. You have to, you know, get back on track. But then that's where we always try to say like, okay, what else should we look at, right? And it's like you give everybody like a moment to take a step back, take a deep breath, and get back on track. Because if we're just standing there and saying, what should we do next, right? That's not a good experience for that person. So, all right, before we move on, I want to get some comments from Jonah and from Duesh on this, because we also have strength and conditioning interns. And I think what's really unique with the strength and conditioning interns with us that I think would be a helpful conversation too, is that they come in and we've had some people like training with us, for example, like for like years, like a decade, right? In there, and all of a sudden there's a new strength intern. So how do you guys handle that, and how do you get that interaction with them to benefit? So Jonah, why don't you start off?
I think a big thing I would say with that is that interns can come into it knowing that they're not expected to know everything. They're not the first intern, they're the 12th intern that this client's met. So it's okay to say, I'm not sure on this one, and check in with a coach. And I think that their goal should be building confidence over their 12 weeks or 16 weeks, whatever it is, which they can do that by showing that they're here to learn and that they're here to develop as a coach. So making sure when there is something you don't know, that you don't just pass them along and say, hey, why don't you go ask Duesh that question, but go along with the client, ask Duesh the question together, and make it a learning moment for everybody. So that the next time you're asked that same question, now you have a confident answer and you know how to explain that exercise or answer whatever it may be. But just showing that you're in it to learn and to develop along the way can help gain the trust from the clients.
Yeah, I like that. And I can definitely see where some of our interns can be intimidated by some of our clients, right? Because they're even like, wow, that client knows how to do a kettlebell swing better than I do, right? So that's daunting for them, right? Duesh, what do you think?
What I would add to Jonah is what I usually try to get them to be comfortable with early on is kind of the human and the person aspect of things. Like I always tell every intern group, like, it's not okay to call clients dude and man to start initiating conversation. Like, go up, learn every person's name. Once you can confidently speak to them via name, you can have conversations, whole conversations. Then you're probably going to start earning that human trust before you start earning the trust as an intern strength conditioning coach that can actually help you with exercise, right? So that's kind of like phase one, first and foremost. Like, if you don't know names, don't go attempt to coach them, right? And especially in our semi-private model, where, like, you know, you're not stuck coaching one person. You could be coaching 20 people in 1 hour, right? So that's super important. And then the other aspect of helping them integrate a little bit is, and I know you guys do this in the PT side too, but teaching them systems early on. Like Jonah said, everyone's going to come in with different skill sets early on. We don't know what one strength intern versus another one is going to look like from a skill and knowledge standpoint. So it's our responsibility to teach them our systems early on that gets them equipped to start trying to be a coach. So the first week we do like a big on-ramp period where we teach them all of our basic systems, teach them everything from like how to foam roll to, you know, all of our like ramp and warm-up exercises and, you know, our structure behind it. And then we'll slowly start getting them a little bit more advanced throughout our weekly in-services of teaching them our speed, agility, power concepts, teaching them our, you know, basic movement patterns and strength concepts. And then all this kind of builds upon itself by, you know, doing formal education sessions and then challenge them on a daily basis of coaching, but also having conversations, you know, on the coaching floor and, you know, asking them to start conversation and, you know, square up questions for conceptual things that they should be learning on the weekly in services or, you know, con ed stuff that they should be doing on the side.
Awesome. Yeah, great stuff. And then I think the only thing I would add to kind of just like wrap this up, and this kind of goes with Jonah and Duesh, with some of our like, you know, more veteran people, like another technique, I guess you can call it, that we do at Champion is, especially with our veterans, is we'll have like the students and I, or the students and the physical therapist, kind of like alternate sets with either manuals or even evaluation techniques, where I do it, they do it. And then we get the patient's input, right? And there's two things that I think happen psychologically here. Is I do think it's important and it helps train the students. I say like, okay, how'd that feel? Did that feel similar to mine? What do you give some feedback, right? And our veteran patients, I wouldn't do this on an evaluation, obviously, right? That seems a little like the wrong move. But with our veteran patients, they almost take ownership in it. They're like, I'm helping this person like get better, right? And then they never answer at the end, say like, oh no, that was terrible. And they help calibrate them, and they say, no, that was amazing. And what the student does is they do get some feedback, but more importantly is like the patient is saying, this is right, this feels good, right? So it's a psychological thing, I think, sometimes that they take a little ownership in that development of the student as well. And they're like, and they always step back and say like, yeah, that was great. They're doing a great job, right? And then the confidence goes through the roof. It's a great environment. So, you know, something to kind of think about. So anyway, I think that was a really good episode. I think that was really helpful. Hopefully for the students too, because maybe you can go into a clinical setting, you know, with some of that knowledge, you know, behind your back a little bit too. And you can almost like try to do some of those techniques yourself if your CI maybe isn't doing that. But I think it's always important to, you know, try to get as comfortable and as safe as quickly as you can with people, just to make sure that they feel confident that they're in the right hands. I think that's the key. So awesome. Great question, Mark. I appreciate it. If you have a question like that, head to mikeron.com and please head to Apple, Spotify, rate, review, subscribe to this podcast so you keep getting notifications when we drop new ones, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to mikeron.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at mikeron.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.